I mean, yeah.
Let's go.
You're garbage.
That's what you get for scaring me.
It's absolutely fine.
Clean.
Because I wasn't recording anyway.
Oh, you fucking asshole.
Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We
are the band.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are
the Hype Attack.
I am the hype!
Your acapella is spot on.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hype Attack, where we weigh in on the latest and greatest hype news.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
As always, I'm here with Rudy, Isaac, and Doug.
Hi.
What's up?
On today's episode, we will be diving into Alien Romulus, because we all watched it together. This time, we went to the movies together, guys.
Like a group.
Yeah, we did it.
Another episode installment of Hype Attack Goes to the Movies.
Yes.
Indeed. Sound design there.
But as always, before we get into that goodness, is there anything anybody's hyped about? Any type of news coming out?
Oh, I got a long list.
Okay, I got a short one. But imagine we're all going to talk about it.
We know. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Got him.
What was Obama's move?
I'm just going to sit and take it. You saw in the recent news that The Acolyte was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, it makes me mad.
Huh?
It's so stupid.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's so stupid.
We did an episode on it. Just to reiterate all that, I don't think that it was a garbage fire show the way that everybody else was making it out to be. I can see why they had its complaints. I even had like a little bit of complaints here and there, but not enough to shit on it, unlike the latest season of House of Dragons. I won't be watching the next season, but this one, I was like, you know, I kind of want to see where that's going to go. And then it just got completely pulled. Did it say any reason why, other than just people were complaining about it, just too much?
It was very expensive.
Do you think they needed to be that expensive? Was it 20 an episode or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, they probably could have toned that down, maybe tried to tell a smaller story or something like that. But it makes me mad. I already saw some of the other podcasts and bloggers and stuff that I follow are just like, excellent news! The Acolyte's been canceled. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah, they're just jumping out of that hate train.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about it, Jay?
That engagement.
I will say, man, for me, like, I'm 50-50 with it, because it's one of those things like where I'm not gonna say like as a Star Wars fan, but it's, I do dive into like the comments and when it was canceled, like I was, you know, reading different articles on Instagram about just people like, you know, yeah, you know, the internet, we did it, we won. And it's one of those things, like, I don't necessarily think it's like that. I just feel that the story in the beginning didn't really grab a lot of people. Like, it was basic, you know, it was a mid story, but it has some interesting points. But what sucks is that it got good at the end.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of people, that's not enough. Because if you're gonna kind of start off a story like that, yes, you had to, you know, follow the story, and then they had to, you know, build it up, and then you went back, and then they, you know, showed you everything, what led up to all this stuff. I just feel a lot of people really didn't care for the characters too much. They didn't really care for the story. And it's just one of those things, like, where I know a lot of people felt if you're going to use this particular character in here, they didn't really feel the story did it justice. So I don't know. It's I'm 50-50 with it, because like I said, I am kind of bummed that it's done because of what happened in the end, and then we got that little teaser with Yoda. Mm-hmm. So it would just be interesting to see where it was going to go. But at the same time, like, I felt like the fans, like, already kind of ruined it. So that's why I really didn't think it was going to go anywhere
Good.
The fans hated it to begin with before it even came out. And then, unfortunately, the first few episodes didn't do enough, I think, to grab anybody. And then like I said on our show, the people's reaction to the story to me was just so weird, because it's like, oh, they didn't explain everything at first. It's like, yeah, that's how shows work. You go back and you learn. I mean, not all of them are like that, but it's a pretty common thing. But what I really worry about is they're going to Willow this shit, and it's going to disappear. They're going to write it off. And there's not a Blu-ray or anything of it, so this could very well never be seen again.
Decanonized
and everything. And then that glorious lightsaber scene at the end and everything is just going to be gone. I mean, I'm sure people have it on YouTube and stuff like that. But because, I mean, like I said, Willow wasn't the greatest show on Earth, but I still think it absolutely sucks that it's just disappeared. It's gone. Wow. Everyone that worked on it, all the actors, you know, they can't even go, like, show their family, like, hey, this is a show I was on. And I think that's ridiculous, and it's going to suck if that happens to this.
It started off with 4.8 million views, which after a few days turned into 11 million views, and then the last episode 8, had evidently the lowest ratings for a Star Wars series on Disney Plus. Do you think that's just the main thing? Do you think Disney at the time was like, yeah, it's all cool, people are talking about it stuff, but it's all about just views? Just strictly on the numbers?
So since they haven't released an official, like, reason for it being, like, everyone points to the viewership, and, like, Netflix does that all the time. Like, if it doesn't hit ridiculous numbers for Netflix, like, they're not interested in renewing it just because, you know, a couple people liked it. Mm. So most likely that's what they'll stick with, so they don't have to address controversy. Mm. It'll just be like, low viewership, we tried, it didn't stick.
And that's the thing too, like, we've all been there, because Alphas for me, Stargate Universe, it's, you know, shows that I really liked that I wanted it to continue, but they just out of nowhere, you know, just said that's it, you know. So it's one of the things that's the, I guess, whatever you want to call it, you know, happens to certain shows. But I feel like Star Wars is one of those things that's going to get criticized till the very end of time, because it's even with Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan kind of started off slow, and it was a lot of people that were like, oh my God, like, he's not even doing anything, you know. Once again, you know, I'm like, just let the story develop and you'll see, you know, what happens. But I heard a lot of complaints about Obi-Wan too, you know. It's,
yeah,
people,
there's always going to be the naysayers, yeah, for sure.
There's some people that like it, you know, there's some people that's not. And then you're going to get the people that are going to dive into the timeline of things and say, you know, and say, like, oh my God, Obi-Wan could have stopped, you know, Vader, you know, but he didn't, you know, so it's Obi-Wan's fault that this whole thing. I'm like, is it really, like, that serious for you to, you know, to dive into this thing and say Obi-Wan could have really stopped it? Could he really have? Even if he would have took out Vader, you still have the Emperor out there,
right? Yeah,
because he would have replaced, you know, Vader with somebody else. It's just that type of, you know, fan logic when they try to make a point off of something that's, you know, just, they're just adding to the story. Mm-hmm. The same thing with this, Acolyte, you know, it's just an addition to the story, you know, just a little, we're going to insert this here to kind of explain certain things, you know. And even with the Anakin, you know, he's the one. And then a lot of people are saying, well if these people were created, you know, what makes him so special? It had to come from somewhere.
Yeah, and now we don't give an opportunity for them to explain any of that.
So now you don't get this flat.
Yeah.
And like Doug said, you know, it could get removed. And honestly, if it is, you know, canceled, just remove it. Because it doesn't matter at this point.
Well, I mean, there is potential. One, I think this cancellation kind of stings a little bit, because that first season was certainly just like the setup. Mm-hmm. And then it was going to go on to being the actual acolyte working with this Sith guy or whoever. You know, it's like, so it was going to go in a whole new direction. Yeah, with the same characters that maybe people didn't care about as much. But, like, my hope would be, okay, they're not going to call it the acolyte, but they might continue at least some of that story in a new series. Because this is the first live action in that time era, the High Republic. Mm-hmm. And I know that's like Disney's big thing is they want to continue to explore that, which maybe, I mean, who knows? Maybe they won't even do that now. I really fear that Star Wars is just going to get whittled down into the same movie over and over and over.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what I feel like this means with them canceling this thing. It's like, again, I don't think it was a huge shit show. The things that people are pointing out, they're making it out to be this huge thing. I can't believe they did this or didn't do that. X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, what I think it means is that now Disney or whomever, the writers and stuff like, now they're going to be really scared to try, like, new things.
Yeah.
You know, now it has to be within these, like, very specific things. Okay, this group of people got mad about that. This group of people didn't like this, that, or the other. Now we really have to try to, like, you know, please the audience. And it's just, it's going to lose, I think, integrity. And we might not even get any kind of exploration in any other non-Skywalker thing. You know what I mean?
But that is exactly where we are right now with cinema and shows. You know, it's hard for people unless you're like a big director, you know, somebody who has a name. The studios will let you go.
Sure,
you
know, yeah.
Do your own thing.
Borderlands, Trap.
If you created, you know, some other franchises that were, you know, big. But that's why we're getting like a lot of reboots and you know,
for sure, yeah,
and all these things because
and we've talked about that,
yeah,
because people can't, you know, seem to like some new idea within, like, I guess a thing that they love, like, you know, and I know we talked about this, but
for sure, yeah,
I feel there has to be a balance, and it's not a thing that studios should say, well, what are the audience or the fans, you know, saying, or what do they want? I feel the studios know to a degree, you know, what kind of what's out there that people like, you know, within whatever realm of, you know, story you're trying to tell. And I feel like if fans don't get that, they're going to start to complain because, you know, they're like, you had, you know, the Old Republic, you know, why didn't you just give us something like that? But you're giving us this story, and they're going to complain because that's not what we wanted.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know. Like, it's one of those things you got to find the balance in that, I guess.
And lastly, then we'll move on to everyone else's list. Lastly, I think the ultimate thing, too, is just not necessarily what story to tell, but it's the execution of it, the delivery of it. Like, are you constructing a good story, whether it be in series form or in movie form? If you're doing that, I don't care what story you're deciding to tell. Just do it well.
Yeah.
Let's have, but let's, you know. But,
I don't want to go on to Star Wars too much, but I do want to say, like, one thing with Star Wars is you are building in this huge world. So, I agree. Like, obviously, storytelling should come first. Like, tell a good story. But ultimately, like, Disney does kind of not have an obligation, but they do. There's this extra, like, side quest of also building into the world and building up, which is a lot. I mean, which not a lot of people can do well. We've seen it. Marvel has fumbled a lot. DC's fumbled a lot. But I mean, like, all of these shared universe shows have that kind of extra little thing to do to, like, kind of move the entire world story forward. And then to your point, like, you brought up, like, that these two were made by the Force, and so Anakin's no longer special. You know, a lot of people hated that, but I can see being in the story room or writing that script and thinking, like, okay, you know, what if we introduced another one? You know, it's like to me, as a viewer, as a fan, like, that could also be exciting to find out that Anakin wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. And it could be exciting to find out how it happened, because they never explained how it happened with Anakin. Yeah. So it's like,
very true.
You know, people shat on the writers for that, but it's like, really, the writers were probably very happy to be giving us something that maybe they thought some of us would be excited for. And maybe
in a different world, we would have been excited for it. But we're in this world where we're just like so geared to just want to hate on anything.
So I will say this right quick to add to Doug's point. So I'm a big fan of Linkin Park, the band. So I like, you know, their first album, the Reanimation album, when that shit came out, phenomenal. I think it was their third album. I don't remember the name off the top of my head. Like, I'm bad with song names or album, but it was like Media. I don't know what it was. Like,
Meteora.
Yeah, Meteora. So they came out with this album.
And I was, sorry.
Like I said, big fan of the first album.
It's my butthole's closing up, sorry.
Hybrid Theory, Reanimation. When they came out with that third album, they sounded so different. I was like, I wasn't 100% on board. I could listen to both of their first two albums without skipping anything. Second one, I was like, because it was a hit and miss. But I was just lucky enough that I was fortunate. I think I bought like a special edition, like CD, or I watched like some behind the scene footage of like them actually making the album, and everything that they put into it. And I sat there. I'm like, you know what? Let me listen to this thing again. It was just that first initial listen. I'm like, man, they don't sound the same. You know,
it's,
I was like,
it's like every time someone like tries to push that envelope and do something creative, and people are like, well, that's not what came before. Mm-hmm, and you made that point too. A million times. It's just people's knee jerk reaction is like, well, this is not what you've been.
And those are the people that are getting angry. They're non creators. If you ever notice, like people who do create in any kind of medium, when an artist, and again, in any other kind of medium, come out with something new, they're like, cool, like I see where they're going, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we'll judge it on not like how it compares to the other thing, but just how it holds up within its, you know, isolated thing. I know it's a little bit more nuanced when it comes to like IPs like Star Wars and stuff like that, for sure. Yeah. But I don't want to, you know,
sit too long. I do have one more thing, real quick. When the announcement came, when the announcement came trending on Twitter or whatever, there was another trend for Mandalorian and Grogu, and I'm like, why is that? And so I started diving into that. People were like, take the budget away from them and give it to the Acolyte, and I was like, that's a weird take. And I'm like going through it, and one person was like, showed like had the clip of the footage from the new movie where he's riding the little fucking walker thing and other walkers are shooting at him, and he's like, this is what people want. They want the big ass badass set pieces, and like they don't want the shit that makes them think about their heroes and in a different light or whatever. And that was the only one in that whole group of people saying like, oh no, we want more Acolyte. That was like, okay, there's a point there.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I brought it up on the show, but I know I've been seeing more and more people discussing the idea that like they really just want their shows to be black and white, evil and good.
They do, yeah.
Like
there's a
comfort in it, especially as this nerd audience gets older. You know, like our age, like nostalgia and like simplicity and comfort is much more important to a lot of people in our age group and older. And so I think,
do you subscribe to that?
Yes and no. I think both shows can exist. Mm-hmm. I totally appreciate a movie, you know, where it's pretty cut and dry. Like this is the good guy. He's big and buff, and he's going to go fight these evil people that are clearly evil, and there's no questions about it. Like I think that show kind of exists, can exist, and should exist. Mm-hmm. And I think even within Star Wars, you could do those two kind of shows, but. I think there's also an amazing place for exploring the goodness and the villainous and the gray area in between. I think that makes for very good storytelling if it's done right. And you're going in there as an audience wanting that and not just pew, pew, bad guy dies.
Yeah. And that's the tough thing. Like I think you had just said a moment ago. It's like there are so many groups of people, a ton of groups of people, and have all these different things and ideas and expectations and wants for the next Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
And you just can't make Annie and all of them happy. And I like when something is just takes that bold dive into going, yeah, no, we hear you. Cool, cool, cool. But I'm going to do a thing. I'm going to respect the property, but I'm going to do a thing, and then you're either going to like it or not. It's so hard with something like Star Wars, owned by Disney. It's just because so many people are like, I like Star Wars. I'm going to watch it. I hope there's something more than just a little mention or thing that's going to speak to me. And it's to be the whole fucking show.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's impossible.
So to just finish up my thing right quick. So they did the breakdown and they, you know, said that we put our heart, you know, our soul into blah, 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 blah. And like I said, like just going back, hearing that, listening to it, I had a better appreciation for it. I feel it shouldn't have to be this way, but I feel like certain things. Do you guys remember when shows like The Walking Dead used to have like the talk about the episode after?
Oh yeah, hosted by Chris Hardwick, Talking Dead.
Yeah, I think if they kind of did something like that with Acolyte, you know, where they kind of got into it and they.
Chris Hardwick needs a job.
And they got people kind of talking about the story, like how we do and like everybody else does.
Discussion.
Yeah, just kind of what it means to them and like, oh, the idea of exploring, you know, like this is where this came from. I think a lot more people would have an understanding than just, you know, them kind of jumping on the train with everybody else that, you know, feels this way about it. But when you have somebody that says, oh, look, this is what we were trying to do with that, it kind of opens up the conversation more.
I think, you know, it gets down to what we were saying the other week about just there's too much shit. There's too much stuff to watch. And like, you know, your Linkin Park example, you had to go back and re-listen after you learned all that kind of stuff. And I think nowadays I think it's a shame that people don't rewatch things because there are probably a lot of things that even the first time I watched it, I'm like, man, that's not that great. And probably if I watched it again, I'd be like, oh, okay, like I noticed this thing now, or this is better. And I think nowadays people aren't going to do it, especially if the internet's telling them to hate it and just move on. You're going to watch the episode, well, that sucked, and move on. Or you're going to watch the episode and check online and see how you're supposed to react to it. And then I'm very cynical and bitter about that.
I don't think that it should have been canceled. I think maybe the budget should have been lowered significantly. You know, kind of put it like, don't give them a big sandbox.
Yeah. Or double it and just do lightsaber fights with that one badass, please.
Move on to somebody else's list.
I mean, real quick, I did a Star Trek escape room over this last week, and that was super fun. It's Escapeology. I think there's a few locations. I went to one in Vegas. I think that's at most of their locations. So if you're near an Escapeology and you want to do some Star Trek nerdy stuff, that escape room was pretty good.
Did you make it? Did you escape?
Yeah, with like 15 minutes to spare. Nice. It was rated an 8 out of 10. I was with a pretty smart group that do these things a lot, and it wasn't too difficult. Like it was pretty straightforward, but it was still cool, like touchscreen, and like it was all, I think it's like officially licensed, so there was like voiceovers of some of the actors and stuff from Discovery, and it was cool.
Was there any, so nobody in the group was like running around going, ah,
No. It wasn't scary or anything like that. You watch Star Trek, so you know in TNG, like a lot of them fixing the ship was just a matter of like pulling out the little plastic cards little and cards. Swapping them out. They had that in there.
Reversing the polarities.
Yeah. So that was just like, felt really cool. It's like, no, we got to swap this one with this one, and this one with this one. I was like, fuck yeah.
Here's this opportunity. Turns around. I know it's in a different start with Star Trek. I can't do it, Captain!
Yeah, I was just knocking everything over with my nerd boner.
You swear.
Yeah, beyond that, World of Warcraft, The War Within starts this week for early access, next week for all the plebes that got the normal version.
I was about to say, do you have early access?
I'm pretty sure I do. I don't know. I usually can't help myself with games like that.
It's
like,
nerd boner.
There's a $300 version? Okay. Nah, I don't know what it was. It was like a little bit more. But yeah, I'm excited for that. I don't know what character I'm going to play, but that should be fun.
Giggle cakes. Jermaine? What you been hyped about lately?
Well, it was just... dropped what yesterday? The secret level?
Okay, yes. So I just watched the trailer.
Yeah.
What the fuck
is that? Like, I had heard...
I thought it was Ready Player One.
No, I had heard a headline that said, like... that mentioned, like, oh, some new anthology is going to include all these video games. And, like, I just glossed over because I think my brain couldn't even comprehend what it was going to be. But,
it's just funny because I was just mentioning, you know, like, I was like, man, I wish we could, like, get more stuff that's like that Final Fantasy...
Mm.
you know, Advent Children, just that type of animation.
You had mentioned that too in the last episode.
Yeah, against Zero. I just love that. Like the Matrix, the Final Fight of Osiris. Mm. I love when I get movies like that. That's from some type of story that I like. And then when this thing dropped, first my mind didn't register shit. Like, it took me a while. Then I just started like blinking, like while this thing was just playing before me. I was like, I know these people. Yeah, I know these franchises, and I'm like. That little clip of Mega Man, I was like, oh my God.
I saw him with the hat and everything. Yeah. His helmet in. Yeah. I'm like, Jermaine's losing his fucking mind right now.
So real quick, what we're talking about is there's gonna be a new show on Prime brought to us by the same people that did Love, Death, and Robots. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched that Netflix, please go watch it. It's amazing.
Really good.
So just like Love, Death, and Robots is an anthology, every episode is a new story. On Love, Death, and Robots, they had different animation studios. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're doing that on this, but each episode is going to be involving a different video game IP. Mm. And I mean, the trailer starts with Space Marines from Warhammer 40,000, so I immediately was just like giddy. And then there's God of War, Pac-Man, Mega Man.
I was going to say, what did it end with?
Sifu. Sifu, which is like kind of like a smaller game that not a lot of people know about. There's the new Sony game, like Concord or something is in it. Like,
Concord.
Yeah.
That, you want to hear the list? I have the whole list.
Yeah, oh, let's hear that list. Hold on. Whip it out, everybody.
Armored Core.
Oh.
But Armored Core is with?
Armored Core. It just is Armored Core.
Is it like hold on. Is it Jizz Meter?
Before you dive into that list.
Oh.
Keanu Reeves.
Was that true?
Yeah, because there's a clip.
You never know these days.
The still shot that I saw that they're using Keanu Reeves' image for this Armored Core little short. I'm ready for that.
Armored Core, Concord. Crossfire, Dungeons and Dragons, Exodus, Honor of Kings, Mega Man, New World, Aeternum, I think it's
called. Yeah, that's the news.
Pac-Man. And then it says PlayStation highlighting various PlayStation Studios' beloved entries, Sifu, Spelunky, The Outer Worlds, Unreal Tournament, and Warhammer 40,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw the Warhammer stuff too, and I'm like, oh, Doug's fucking losing his mind too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it, like I said, I had read that headline earlier and just couldn't like piece that sentence together of like what it was trying to say. I don't know why. And then as soon as I saw that trailer, I was like, oh, that's what it is.
It must be expensive, though. Just from the properties themselves.
So it says it's being produced by Amazon and Blur Studio. And I seem to remember Blur Studio doing a shit ton of really good video game cinematics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. So. Oh yeah, yeah. And Amazon, they're pretty big, right? They have a lot of money, I think. I hope that. I mean, they're
this
right? Legitimately.
This, let me look at it.
This yeah, series better,
don't take our word for it.
Do your research. This series better be good because I need a couple seasons. So tread softly, for to tread on my dreams.
To answer your question, you know, maybe they had to pay a lot for it, but also at the same time, like, this will be great advertisement for a lot of these games. I mean, certain ones don't need it, but games like Sifu and Spelunky and all that, cool. And, like, this is, like, Amazon's, like, first, like, 40K action, right? Because they're the ones that have the rights to it all. And
don't they have the rights to the God of War series? I could be wrong.
Oh, maybe, probably.
Live-action series. So... Like what the Deadpool leak did for the movie, you know, the hype train. I think Sony and a couple other studios probably are kind of with this because they probably want to see what the hype is with all the fans, because this could potentially kind of show studios, you know, oh, look. This is what a God of War, you know, Warhammer could look like.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So it's one of those things. I do feel they should do a good job with this
because it's everyone's best nature. Yeah,
yeah, that's a potential movie deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's considering these are probably going to be. less than an hour long. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just going to be some awesome action set piece from with each of these characters. I mean, there's no really no way to piss people off on that.
And Love, Death, and Robots is phenomenal,
dude.
It's going to be Kratos like questioning his gender or something like that. Just really pissing everybody off.
I'm running through the Blur Studio pass list. They did all the cinematic trailers for the Batman series, the Batman Arkham series.
Oh,
oh wow.
So, I mean, that just, they've done a shitload of everything, but those in particular. Yeah. Oof. So.
Good for them.
Good times.
Yeah, good for them. Good pull on
did
that.
Did you order your Costco pallet of like lube for this?
I still have a lot left over from earlier. It's too hot in this house.
I did watch the IGN drop the story where the producer or whoever was on the panel, and he was getting ready to announce this project, and he said that it's been like 3 years in the making. But while he was saying what he was saying, like, he was getting so emotional, like some of us do.
Gross.
But he was just, you know, kind of like breaking down, like literally breaking down here and there, and he had to pause, you know, because he was just saying, this is, you know, just one of those like dream projects, but just
3 years
that they got this.
3 years doesn't seem like a bad turnaround, especially considering it's going to be a CG show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty good. That's, wow. Okay, cool.
Unless like that trailer was just really like overblown, the rest it's going to be just Unreal tournaments. I'm just going to be watching episodes of like Fortnite.
Oh no, the trailer took 3 years. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, the trailer took years. So it's like 16-bit animation.
I would still enjoy myself if I
saw. Oh fuck yeah, I'd watch the hell out of that.
Yeah, but that's my hype of the week.
Nice,
Rudy. Best for last.
Hardly.
Worst for first.
I said hardly.
What do you have?
I was just, the only thing that I was really interested in this week so far, besides Alien Romulus, was all of the controversy surrounding X-Men 97.
Mm. Let's talk about it.
Like, Jesus Christ.
We're going to talk about Wiener. We're going to talk about Wiener.
So Bo...
Never too far away from him.
Bo DeMeo has been kind of hinting around the internet that he was fired from X-Men 97 because he was black and he gay too.
I didn't know that. Now I'm on board.
And he's been like, yeah, there was a, I put like a rainbow in one of my tweets and like Disney didn't like that. I also read that he
I have to say that before.
Someone put it in quotations that he was getting too successful as a Marvel producer, a producer of Marvel content within Disney, and that other people engineered to his downfall. And I'm
You're making it too good. No.
And so Disney finally got tired of being dragged because they didn't.
Their sinister shit.
They didn't release any kind of like, he's a bad person, this is why we fired him. They were just like, we parted ways. And then he started stirring the fucking pot. So Disney's like, well, okay. We investigated and we found some egregious.
Content.
Not content. Egregious, shit. That
all that stuff,
but they still didn't really like go into detail. And then Bo's over here fucking still poking the bear. So finally, someone came out and was like, "Yeah, he was sending pictures of himself naked to animators and going like, if you need suggestions for heroic poses, like
were they of age?
Like, look at
you still can't send an unsolicited dick pic.
Like, look at this.
News to me.
Yeah, we've been meaning to have that intervention
and." They pissed off Disney enough.
I appreciated the week where you wrote the name on it of the day of the week on it, and you just sent it to us first thing in the morning.
So you didn't want little stuffed animals curled up like in a sleeping bag?
They're in my new folder called Evidence.
I just thought that was cute.
I did hear one of the stories.
Oh, you sent the wrong
emoji. When all this stuff first happened, they fired him allegedly because he had a OnlyFans was one of the stories that I heard. And when all this
apparently he's just like a huge narcissist, so I mean it all tracks. Mm-hmm. Like you put his name into Google and like one of the pictures on the thing is like buff, very buff black man oiled up. So I mean, pull it up, enhance.
I don't know how you could complain against that.
But he apparently he pissed off Disney enough that because they gave him the credit for the first season, and he had writing credits for the second. I don't think it was he had anything to do with the third yet, because I think they greenlit 2 and 3 so far. But Disney's going back to rewrite all of season 2 enough so that they can take his name off all of it.
Oh boy,
like completely.
Hey, at least we got a really awesome first season.
Yeah,
you know.
Hey, they didn't need to put him in the credits, but they don't need to put his name just so that meme with the big black guy with the. Could just have that picture in there.
I fucking know.
A picture at the very end of the credits of just a jar of mayo, because his last name's DeMayo. So yes,
there you go.
This is your only credit.
Why can I see you, future Rudy, editing this and just putting that thing in there with the thing of mayo? Not to edit your own stuff.
Best foods.
Maybe if Disney just hired more narcissistic people that like to send nudes, we'd get some great MCU content.
That's a way to look at it.
Sorry. Silver lining or something? I don't know.
Spin.
Jizzy lining.
It's so funny to me because everyone's accusing Disney of being like, you know, trying to push the agenda and all that stuff, and they're putting gay people in charge or you know, everything. And this one guy is saying, no, they fired me because of that, because I'm gay. I'm like, really? What's the narrative? Like, I don't understand.
Well, that's part of the narrative is that none of these corporations actually care. They do it for profit, yeah. Just in yeah. Pride Month, and then they move on. I mean, that's the allegations. I don't think that's true for a lot of these companies.
So usually it the big companies, because it is all like they could care. Allegedly, what I assume, what it seems like, is like they can fucking care less for what anyone's doing, because most likely they're all fucking doing it themselves. It's my, you know, conspiracy theory, or whatever. But it seems like they go, well, hey, your shit got out. Now we're gonna try to, you know, back away from you, get away from you, so that we can hold on to our little money pile here. That's my fucking theory, conspiracy theory on it. Honestly,
it is true with the pitchfork mentality of a lot of Twitter. And the internet, I mean, there is always going to be a risk if something comes out that, especially if it's like in the realm of sexuality. I mean, granted, that's like harassment and that's all legitimate, like legal stuff. But anything, even just having an OnlyFans, I think people can be so quick to twist something into something more than it is. I mean, we see how much people throw around the word like groomer or whatever. Mm. It's like, oh, you're doing something sexual and you're making cartoons for kids? Groomer. And you know, and it's like, and once that's out there, you have a whole army of people, and not necessarily the most sane people, which can be a dangerous thing.
Like meerkats, as soon as they hear the word groomer, like,
yeah,
out of their holes, like, oh,
time, yeah, exactly,
let's go.
And you're fighting the fight against evil Disney corporations or whatever because you've been told to hate them. Also, like, it's there's a lot to it, so it makes sense. I hope, you know. What he did, as everyone that listens to our show, thank you, knows, we talked for like 3.5 hours on that first season. So hopefully whoever they get to replace him like understands.
Yeah.
Like do a deep dive into why people enjoyed that show.
Mm-hmm. Try to get him to cry again.
Yeah.
Like controversy aside.
Come at me, bro.
Got a million views for that.
They're trying to take, you know, the bulk of his influence out of that. Like, shit. Like,
They got to bring Gambit back just so they can kill him. That'll win us over.
Speaking of Alien vs. Predator,
you know what? There's no segue.
Speaking of Predators and the aliens, I love them.
Yeah, it was
the worst one.
It works. It works.
The worst one. Perfect. On brand, though. Come on. Let's talk about it.
I'm just going to have a cashew. You guys go ahead.
God. So the 1.5 sequel, I guess you want to call it, 1.5 sequel to the very first Alien, which takes place, Alien Romulus, which takes place 57 years after the first movie, took me by surprise, directed by Fede Alvarez, who also did Don't Breathe and the reboot of Evil Dead. I don't think he came back for the second
this,
one.
This
Evil Dead.
This is me right slicing there. My tongue in half for the Evil Dead. I was trying to remind you. You were looking at me.
Which is like one of the things that I think he does well is he presents you the thing that you're kind of familiar with. You kind of know what you're going to get into, and then goes, "Oh yeah, I'm going to." Oh, you think that's disturbing? All the usual shit, and we're going to make it gross. And he fucking did that toward the end. Heads up, warning: there's going to be spoilers because there's no way to talk about this movie without giving spoilers. So, yeah. hey yeah. guys, what'd you think about the movie?
It was really it was
super
good.
Fucking really good.
Yeah, it's been a while since.
Can you call it a sequel since it didn't really continue the events?
I don't know.
It didn't really continue the events. Well, not the events. It didn't follow the same characters of the first.
Requel? No, not a requel.
I don't. Somebody called it something, and I don't fucking remember. Should have written it down.
Yeah, there's a term for that.
It's because it's not quite a sequel. It's not quite. It's kind of a requel. Or it's just...
I'll take it.
What did Star Wars used to call it? A Star Wars saga? This is an alien saga?
An in-universe adventure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An alien story.
The sequel to the villain.
Romulus and
Alien. Right, because it was the same story. Alien, kind of, sort of.
Did you guys like the story set up with the crew and what unfolded after that?
Before Doug goes on the whole thing, I did because all of the other movies, and I can't remember exactly the plots to all of the other movies, including but not limited to Prometheus and everything, just all alien encompassing, right? Mostly they were usually science oriented or soldier oriented, right? But it was always surrounding.
The first one, they were truckers.
Basically. Were the truckers?
Yeah, pretty much.
But the core of it was always like the Weyland Corporation.
Weyland Yutani.
Thank you. But it was kind of refreshing. Because, again, you're always thinking like, okay, what are they going to do? Is it going to follow along those similar beats? And for them to have, I guess, a newer story and something that was a little bit more heartfelt where it made... It kind of grounded it, or it was a little bit more of like a rational motivation. And also, too, it allowed them to explore a little of what it was like to live in this world if you weren't a scientist or a trucker or a soldier, you know? So I like the motivation. How did you like the motivation?
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind the characters because it was one of those things, like, because of who was directing it and the fact that it was these young kids and, you know, they were trying to find a way home. I immediately knew damn near everybody was dead. So just that setup alone, then you find out, you know, oh, there's this ship in space that they're going to try to get, you know, they're like, oh, you know, it should be a easy mission.
Mm-mm. Famous last words.
Right. You thought, and then there was some more of it.
Rudy?
What?
Doug?
I mentioned it to you guys right after I saw it. Like, I was totally in for that story at the beginning. Like, the world interests me, the way the set looked. And that story, well, like, the one girl getting denied her travel papers, and then so she had to, you know, she meets up with her friends who are obviously, like, coming up with a scheme to get off planet, learning about the characters and like seeing how they were and her and then her brother the android Andy. I wanted that movie still. Like I still would have loved to see the movie, and, you know, and then like it was kind of like towards the end of like the setup phase of that movie that I was like, I had to remind myself like, oh, this is a horror movie. Like all these people are gonna die. Which, you know, I mean, that's the reason I went there. Like, I knew it. I wasn't, like, surprised. But, so to answer the question, like, I love the setup. I love the story. And then...
You sighed, and by the way, you breathed in so long, I thought you were going to, like, hate on it.
Oh, no. I absolutely loved it. And, to your point, your size. Like, you brought up the motivation. Uh-huh. I think similar to his work on the Evil Dead reboot, which I've praised before on this show about... them not just leaving because she was the heroin addict or whatever and coming down. So it gave
so good.
It gave a reason for them to stay despite all the bullshit. I think it was the same thing here where it was like, okay, things were kind of falling apart, but like there was still reason, you know, like they didn't back away as soon as shit got weird because they had a pretty good reason to fucking finish this mission and get the hell out of there. Mm-hmm. Because working for Weyland sucked on that mine planet.
And it made sense because when you got to know the characters, it seemed like anytime somebody got close to getting their hours, that they just bumped it up. Because I believe they mentioned that their parents also worked there, but they died there, correct?
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where you get that little sand grain of hope,
mm-hmm.
and they take it away from you. Because when she told her, like, oh, you can get it again in, like, 5 years, I'm like, well, shit.
And, and by the way, so you said it before, but just a reminder, it's a horror film. Like, mm-hmm. Alien, the very first Alien was a horror film, and then the subsequent movies kind of stepped away from that, and there was mainly just sci-fi. Mm. So when you're watching a horror film, there's this sort of structure that you have to, not necessarily have to follow, but that horror films typically follow. And one of those is you have to give a shit about the characters. Otherwise, what actually happens to them, you're like, oh, I don't care about that person anyways. Mm-hmm. And so you have to sort of subtly, build these people back, build these people up and their motivations. But what helps that along is a great cast.
Oh, yeah.
People that can actually fucking perform these things. So, like, when Rain had that moment where her quota went up,
mm-hmm.
it's the little, things that she's emoting. It's in her eyes. It's that feeling where I was like, I in that moment, I was like, oh, I remember signing. Like, fuck, that really sucks. Yeah. But if it was a lesser actor, I'd be like, okay, cool, whatever. Yeah. It wouldn't have come through. And so now I'm invested in that character.
I also do feel like that one little moment probably registers with, like, a lot of people, in their average, day job and whatnot. But speaking of the...
God, 15 years. Sorry. No, sorry. Go ahead. I told myself to keep it together.
That was too personal.
40 more years to retirement?
Yeah. Fuck.
But no. who got me in that series that just flipped that switch like that was Andy.
Literally.
When he got upgraded, I was like, holy fuck.
I love the way
Where's aliens, your Oscar at, bro?
Yeah. the Alien movies have introduced the synthetics and mm-hmm. the way they mm-hmm. just, they're not necessarily evil, but their fucking directive is like, for the company.
Yeah, they got that RoboCop prime directive.
Yeah. So it makes them do shitty things to, the humans around them when the shit hits the fan.
And I noticed, like, the synth in the very first movie was Bishop, and then they run into the synth here called Rook. So obviously, like, chess pieces. So I think there's definitely something about, like, Wayland is using them.
Love like, that.
As game pieces.
Son of a bitch.
See, I picked on that. Like, today I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, Rook. Bishop.
As soon as they call him Rook, I'm like, oh, because of Bishop. Yeah, except for what the new one is David, the one from
Prometheus.
I'm like, okay, fuck you.
But Prometheus was set before all of this, like way before all of this, right?
Is it really?
Major prequel.
I don't remember where all this shit sits on the timeline.
Yeah, I think I immediately, someone like, the proper chronological way to watch the new Alien movies.
Yeah, someone's screaming right now, the one person that knows.
You have to watch this one.
Yeah.
I did like that we got a bigger, I don't want to say bigger, like a more expanded view of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the most part, it's always like the top level executives and they're chasing like immortality or they mentioned, the weapons division wanting a copy of these. And, like, this was like no, we're fucking, the spoiler, the human race is not suited to, colonize space because space is rough.
Mm-hmm.
Diseases and
it gives it that shit. Sorry, it gives it that motivation where you go, like, well, I guess I can side with the villain for all their bad doings. It's for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of. But they're chasing the wrong fucking thing here because every time
that's what I'm saying though.
Every time they get that little drip of the black stuff, the Prometheus or whatever they want to call it.
Thank you for clarification.
It.
But it's the perfect organism.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, but it's gross, man.
Wow.
I was absolutely talking about the fucking xenomorphs.
Yeah.
My Jermaine is perfect.
Allegedly.
I appreciate that. God damn it. We had to look up this term before. It's like an alternate timeline because this is obviously future sci-fi, but the tech they were using was very like outdated, because the first movie came out like in the 70s, so, and obviously the sci-fi
glad you pointed that out.
Like the equipment and that was reflective of 70s technology.
You know what other thing did that? To go back to you a quick second, was Andor. Andor did the same thing where it's like we get that it, like, we're doing it now, but this took place then, and so the technology, even like the special effects, how they built that then, was old, and they thought it was future.
Star Wars is like a whole other galaxy, far, far away, with its own like timeline and stuff like that. Yeah.
I appreciate you're that right. In this movie.
I think that's what made Andor stand out. But like, yeah, this I was noticing that too, and God, the tactileness of it, the clicking, and the CRT monitors like turning on, like an old 80s baby was, you know, in my head was like, yes, like all the cool sounds that we don't get anymore, because now we just got touch screens that don't make any sort of thing. They click, boom. Like, love it.
And a quick mention, speaking of which, sound design.
Oh, yeah.
Sound design and like lack thereof. The whole movie opens up with just space and nothing. No sound. It was unnerving. My wife, Elva, was like, it was too quiet. It made me uncomfortable. Go, good. It set the fucking tone. Like, that's what it was supposed to do. And it did it so fucking well.
I'm chopping on popcorn and I'm like, I can hear this. Like, I know the person eight rows behind me can hear me fucking chewing.
And it did this thing where...
I saw a meme the other day where someone, like, had popcorn and was like, you want to go sit in the quiet room for 2 hours with the loudest food on earth?
But it did this thing throughout the movie, real quick, is like pacing. Right, one of the sequel to Prometheus. Prometheus was a really slow paced movie, and then the one following that kind of picked it up a little bit. This one found that happy medium where Covenant, if this is what it was, where it was like, we're gonna let the scenes breathe, and then right when you're gonna get bored, it gets a little bit uncomfortable, and then we'll move on to the next thing. And it was just done so well, and I think that couldn't have been done without an amazing director like Fede Alvarez. But this, going back to it, sorry, the sound design, that, the absence of sound, just fucking everything added to the immersion of being on this fucking spaceship.
Yeah, and the visuals as well. Mm-hmm. Some of the greatest like space shots I think I've seen in a long, long time.
I do like the gimmick, cheap, like kind of like loud jump scare type moments that they do. Going back,
there wasn't a lot of them, but there was a few.
Yeah.
The ascension into space, the takeoff.
Dude. Yes,
I was thinking, like, part of me was like, they really don't need to show all this, but I am so glad they did, because that was gorgeous, yes. And it was really cool.
And it's a total like reverse of how they drop in Aliens. And when they do the combat drop, it's just a straight express bitch, elevator to hell going down. It was the same thing, but going up, I'm like, wow, that's a cool like callback, and like that's how they insert and exit orbit.
It did something cutting back from the cockpit to that faraway view where you can barely hear the rockets go. In a movie, every fucking scene, every shot should mean something. It should do something. It should inform whatever story and the feelings. And what it did was the overall feeling of, yes, it's this group of people. They're all together and you think you're safe. But ultimately, zoom back, they're just a speck in space that no one's fucking gonna know that they're there.
Yeah.
Just loved it. Just that little thing.
And it led to the, is that our son? Like, you know, which I'm... definitely tells us that the that they don't get to see their son on that planet. Like,
well, did you see the graphic in the beginning where it says hours of daylight?
Oh no,
they were Jackson Star, whatever block, mining colony, average year of sunlight 0%. I'm like, jeez.
Oh wow. Wow.
Like, that's why she was having the dreams of, you know, being sunbaked.
Yeah,
it did it like in a comical beat too. It was like information, 0 hours of, did you pick that up on it?
Yeah,
I think to your point, this movie is probably like textbook idea of like everything you show, like should be for something and for a reason, and like sometimes maybe a little on the nose, but like pretty good. There was definitely like almost any time they picked up a piece of tech, it's like, don't touch that will do this, and it's like five minutes later we're gonna see it do that.
That's the only thing, like, yeah. Like, at first it was fine, but, like, I think by the time or third or fourth time they did it, I was like, okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I'd almost rather have that than, like, some other weird explanation of how to do it or what it's supposed to do. But
yeah, I think it did a good job of, like, having those maybe not so subtle plants, but just things that were just quickly introduced and did fucking come back later. But,
when they, like, it was a, that scene of just them docking and then they get into the ship. And when they, you know.
Oh, docking the ship. Sorry. Go
ahead. When they finally got aboard and those doors opened up with those blades.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is this a foreshadowing of, like, somebody or maybe an alien getting, you know, like its head cut off, because it just seemed like they just focused on that. So I was waiting for that. It's a nice little misdirect, yeah, for the whole movie. But man, but when they went in that one lab and they saw all those, what is it, the face huggers?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, my God.
It should look like an art installation.
Right? It's
like face huggers.
And I love that. I just love that scene because we, the audience, know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know.
Yeah.
So it was just one of those things, like, and then it just slowly started to get warm in there, and they were just thawing out. And started moving. Man.
They looked like sous vide bags to me. I figured you were just cooking them up in the sous vide. And
when they panned, and I'm like, oh, like, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like, holy shit. Like, they all dying. Everyone dying in this.
Yeah. I saw an interview with some of the actresses in it. And they were saying, one, I guess they filmed this movie in chronological order.
Interesting.
Which I'm assuming, like, for a horror movie, like, that might be kind of a cool experience as an actor and actress, because you're just, things are getting crazier and crazier out of hand.
Yeah, really.
And, like, you know, as people die, like, they're no longer on the set with you. Like, that's kind of a cool way to film a movie like this. But then also they said, like, all the animatronics, all the practical effects made it really easy to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when the animatronic xenomorph or the face huggers are coming at them, like, they said it was very easy to scream, and, like, I can imagine so versus, like, a tennis ball or something.
Tennis ball on a pole.
Yeah.
And I get, like, you know, I think nowadays you're never really going to ever get no CGI in a movie. It's kind of hard to get away from that now that we have the ability to sort of, like, touch stuff up, but
yeah, I would say we shouldn't get away from that. I mean, I think CGI can be done very, very well, and it adds a lot to a show. So, like, I think if someone were to set out, like, we're not gonna, I mean, unless you're telling a boring, I don't know, fucking first date movie or something like that.
there was a Jonah Hill movie where they did that through CGI when it didn't need to be because they didn't like each other. Did you hear about that? And then they had a CG the kiss. But what I was going to say was, like,
really bad, like, lip stretching out.
Yeah, well, you have to watch it. It's so disturbing. Yeah, it morphs into one another. But, like, when people talk, like, oh, CG's bad. It's like, no. Bad CG's bad. You can do it seamlessly if you have somebody that knows how to work with it, if you know somebody that is going to film a thing knowing you're going to use special effects and accounting for all that, instead of being the kind of director that goes, fix it in post.
Yeah. Shout out to James Gunn for giving his VFX team like a year after they're done filming for Superman.
And so there was things where, you know, now that we are familiar with, like, you know, full CG creatures and characters and whatnot, and yes, on paper it's like, great, we're going to get everything, you know, practical creatures and practical effects. Still, you know, it's... You can kind of still tell, you know, the uncanny valley on either of those things. And so the way to do that, especially when it comes to your creatures, so you're not taking out of the movie, is to hide it a little bit and to slowly introduce your creature, especially the big bad. You know, light it well, shoot it so fucking well, and hide it a little bit, you know, behind some smoke, behind the catwalk.
Yeah. The only thing that kind of took me out of it a little bit was was Rook.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, his face sometimes, like, he had that whole uncanny
feeling and that to it. Actor is dead, right?
Yeah, the actor's dead.
Is he dead?
That's the original Bishop.
Yeah, he's dead.
So, like, I understand that because I didn't know he was dead. I thought they were doing some, like, de-aging stuff. And that was what I assumed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ah.
Well, so, what threw me off real quick for that is when they lifted him up onto that counter, I immediately was like, cool,
they can have the actor inside the fucking compartment mm-hmm. and just have his torso sticking up from underneath. Like, great way to do that practical effect. Because, you know, they could have left him on the ground, which would have been harder. But they put him up there. I'm like, awesome. That actor could just needs to stand underneath that set and do that. So when they finally showed his face and he started talking, it's like, oh, that's CGI. I was so, like, ready and excited for, like, a cool way to do a practical effect. And then it wasn't. And it was CGI. And then later I heard, yeah. And it makes me mad that it didn't dawn on me that that was Bishop. Like, you know, obviously those scents are going to look the same.
Because I do remember the timing when he passed, because like I said, like I know he's from the movie, but personally I know him from The Fifth Element, but
Lord of the Rings too.
But a lot of people were upset that they had him in this movie because he's passed and gone, and that was like one of those
hard things to get away from it though.
That's a bunch of people, and they're like, why you know, like, reanimate these corpses to do things when mm-hmm. they can give it to a live actor or mm-hmm. blah, 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 just change the story. And it's like, I mean, he fit in this, so mm-hmm. what do you want?
Yeah, because on the other end, you go, well, I don't know, who's that person supposed to be?
In this case, like, unless they sat there and said, like, oh, he looks like Bishop.
yeah. He looks a little different.
Just a tag. Pretend it's Bishop.
Two things happened when they revealed that the synth was still alive. Is they didn't immediately reveal him. They showed the behind his head and he's talking and the side of him and then kind of hidden and blurred. And I go, cool. If they just do that, and he doesn't have a lot of talking parts. They can get away with it.
Oh my god, I thought he was human. That shit fucked me up.
And then they showed him, and I go, oh, they really fucked up on that one. And then my brain goes, okay, if I can just try to convince myself that, well, he's a synth, and so it's fake. It's, you know, it's a fake person, so maybe you can kind of sort of get away with that. But in the end, I was like, it's hard to do that sort of de-aging thing.
I knew they were building up to something because of the way they were keeping him in shadows mm-hmm. and shit. They put him up on the counter, and
it was like, that Resident Evil,
like, training over right the shoulder, yeah. like from here. And I'm like, okay, something like it's going to be a treat. I think a big reveal, like they're doing something. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's the guy.
I don't know if they'll ever perfect it. I mean,
I'm with you though. I think they could have, not to nitpick their work, and it was awesome, but like maybe made him more damaged and glitchy even. Like that might have worked if like his jaw was kind of messed up, so he would have been talking funny to begin with or something.
Damn it.
I don't know. No, but then maybe it would have been too hard to recognize him if they fucked him up too much. But
they could have played with it, fuck. Because yeah, that was, I think that was the only major nitpick of the movie. I mean, I could probably like suggest things here and there, but that was the one. But his subsequent scenes were like via a TV screen, so that you can get away with.
That's what I was about to say. It looked really good on the distorted TV screen. Yeah, so maybe that's the way. If you want to play some necromancy and bring back actors, they have to be talking through a CRT television.
When he was like, hit the button and I'll fly you out. I'm like, oh, it looks really good right there.
Yeah,
like I accepted it. I was trying to look to see if the other guy, Lance Henriksen, who played Bishop in Aliens, if he's still alive and they could just de-age him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's still alive.
He's 84 though. I guess they got permission and they worked with the family and stuff like that. Because that's the other big concern with any of this stuff is.
Wasn't the whole thing that Rook was in the very first Alien? He was the synth.
Yeah.
Right.
So no, Bishop was the synth. In the very first one.
No. That was Ash.
Oh.
Ash.
That.
I believe.
Oh.
Bishop was the Lance Henriksen's character.
Ended
up being like one of the, like the founder of the company.
Oh,
like
Alien vs. Predator. I'm mixing him up. Yeah. I mixed it all up now. Fuck me.
Check your facts.
Yeah. Check your facts.
The kills. How did you guys feel overall about the kills?
Yeah, his name was Ash, sorry.
The kills weren't as like gruesome as maybe I was kind of hoping for, but still brutal.
Yeah.
Like still very much like, ooh, or whatever.
It was a very, very alien kills with the mouth.
Yeah. Like the acid drip and stuff like
that. Oh, can we talk about the Doug face hugger? Like slapped its tube on the window. I was like, it's Doug.
I have never slapped my tube on a window.
Allegedly.
Yeah, that's I mean, I black out a lot, so maybe.
Yeah, the facehuggers are just totally gross in like a visceral way, and then like seeing the where like it's on your face from the side, and it's like, hold on, where's the hole?
Yeah,
it's there somewhere. I'm gonna get it. And like,
the facehugger's like, oh, hold on, wait, talk dirty to me. It went limp again. Hold on.
And they move so crazy, man. Like, I love the scene where they have to get by the. What do we call a flock of?
How about a terror of facehuggers?
Oh, terror! Yeah, yeah.
So
the violation.
They had to bring down the temperature in the room to match their body temp, and they were just trying to get through. Just trying
to quiet place their way in.
Yeah, just those facehuggers just sitting there and just doing
get that twitch in and like.
I was like, you son of.
They were a little stiff for me, but I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be like
with the puppets alien and stuff.
Scientologist or something like that. But yeah, some of the movement, I was almost just like, that's a facehugger on a remote control car.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit. I'm movie was great. I think I told people this might have been one of the greatest movies I've seen in a long time.
I think it's my favorite.
I'm not going to nitpick that.
I think it might be my favorite horror film of the year.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
My favorite sci-fi of the year.
Mm-hmm. The kills, I think, were done smartly would be one way to put it, because you're going to have like your throwaway kills, right? You know, you're going so long throughout the movie.
Got to get that annoying guy out of there first.
Or girl. Who's the one that first died? It was the...
Oh, yeah. The
pilot?
Yeah.
The pilot. Aileen Navarro. So she was first to go. And I was like, wow, she's done dirty, but the... They didn't really build her character back up or build her character up. And so you're like, okay, there was like an attention to the value of the kills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, we're going to satiate your hunger. There you go, a little appetizer here. And then a little, that guy's a dick, so a little one there. You know, and then this is the main course. And boy, are we going to make a fucking meal out of it. And oh boy, howdy, did they.
I was a little upset about the guy who got killed by the acid. Because I'm like... He's like, oh, we got it a little bit. And then, like, let me lay right under, right under the thing and then be like,
fuck.
And then just watch it drip and be like, instead of fucking like trying to roll out of the way or something. Yeah. I'm like, whatever.
I'm assuming shock or something. I was thinking the same thing. Like, the second I saw my fingers disappear in front of my eyes, like, I'd be fighting as much. Like, that I was so disturbed watching that whole thing. That idea freaks me out.
I love it.
He pretty much did the Man of Steel Kevin Costner. He's like,
wait for it, it's gonna be good.
But I want a little bit more death on his part.
He was
gore,
the dad, right?
It seemed like that was the
because it seemed like because the girl said
the cousins.
No, yeah, they were cousins.
Yeah, but
wait, were they cousins? I thought that was the guy's.
I thought best so friend, too.
The brother,
she didn't want brother. Him to know.
The brother calls him his cousin.
Yeah,
specifically.
Mm. Well,
and then
Space
the pilot and that guy seem to have their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be a couple. So, I mean, that'd be not far fetched, but it'd be a little weird.
The West Virginians in space.
Yeah,
because I think if she was pregnant and he knew, or whatever, I think it might have been a little bit more
concerned.
Yeah, it would have shown a little more concern.
Let the rewatch it.
But man, when he stuck that prod in that
vagina?
The cocoon hive vagina.
I hate both of you.
That thing looked so terrible, but I really thought, I was like, oh man, he might have gotten it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I had like a sangre and a hope, but nope. Because you just saw that little, it got excited. Ooh. It got excited because it had the little
tail. Oh, you've never seen that happen? Not familiar, are you?
He found it.
Yeah, he found it. Exactly.
He found exactly. The fabled G-spot.
Right?
It's a myth! I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he had to electrify that shit for him to find it.
To bring some toys into it. That's a secret.
So you fucking, you put it in, and you angle it, and then you hit fucking 30,000 volts.
At 12 years old.
Oh, man.
That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rachel actually like leaned over and just like, vagina. And I'm like,
yeah.
Ooh, it's a juicer.
Oh, man.
That would be worth watching, like, the behind the scenes, because that design was clearly, I mean, you know, I don't know. a lot of animals have vaginas that look pretty similar. So mm-hmm. it's like maybe it's some sort of, they're using like evolutionary.
No. Well, I mean, the eggs for that face hookers come out kind of almost have that. I mean, they come out segmented, but it's still that juicy ass, you know, crevasse that they're coming out of.
It makes that sound, and it makes that sound, and when that tail kind of like moves in the egg,
that mac and cheese sound.
I get that familiar. Well, I mean, I don't want to jump ahead, but like then if that's the case, where everything's sort of genitalia in nature. I feel like they did the last creature dirty by just giving it a patch. A little cloaca.
I mean, I shouldn't be surprised at myself for how perverted I am, but like, as soon as they revealed that at the end and like running around, I was like, did he have a penis? And then we finally got the full frontal. I was like, oh, no, he doesn't have a penis.
Poor guy.
Could have been a woman, though, I guess. Yeah. Could have been a woman.
He opens his mouth and the penis comes out of there.
Oh,
yeah.
He kind of did.
Yeah, a little bit. So Isabella Merced's character, I forgot her name, like announcing that she was pregnant. Again, it was like early on we heard that. So it was certainly like another like, oh man, yeah, they really need to get off this planet. Like she doesn't want to obviously raise a kid in that fucking shithole planet. But it was also because the story had so many plants. I was like, oh, that's going to come back later. Mm-hmm. I was kind of going through it. I was like, oh, is that going to save her? Is the alien going to be like, oh, you're pregnant. I'm not going to kill you for whatever stupid reason. Thank you.
That's what I'm saying. Like they made a meal out of that where it's like, okay, that's where it's going to end. And just especially with her character specifically just kept fucking torturing her more and more. Mm-hmm. And even going back to the whole violation, because that's what Fede Alvarez does. He fucking violates the viewers by violating the characters. And by having that last creature, whatever, I don't know, what is there? Did anybody name it? Fuck. To have it like breastfeed off of her? Oh, it's so icky though.
That was so.
It like, looked like the engineer.
Yeah. Unnecessarily icky too.
Yeah.
Like they totally didn't need to do it, but they flashed to Isabella or Kay, like reaching in and pulling, you know, reaching into her nipple and then pulling out some weird goo. And then, yeah, next thing we know is that scene. It could have easily been that thing finding her and killing her.
I really wanted that alien in my head anyways. I just wanted him to have like that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles moment where he was like the Tonka Razor. Mama!
I was expecting that, yeah.
Oh, man.
I gasped when like the egg opened up and it's a little humanoid thing.
Yeah, that, and I kind of heard everybody in the theater, including myself, when they got the serum that they were going to inject her with, because, you know, she was wounded. Mm-hmm. So they were like, well, she might not make it. But then, you know, what's his name?
Rook.
No, the android.
Andy.
Oh, Andy. No, Andy said it. Sorry.
Yeah, he said that they could, you know, make it, but they were going to inject her. And then they stopped and everybody was like, damn it. Because you just wanted to see what was going to happen.
They set up the anticipation.
I loved them showing the video of that
rat
getting like smashed, and then they injected it.
Then it's all good and shit. And then they're running out of the lab, they you know, they go back to the case that it's in, and it's all fucking
that was so funny because I was like, I need to see somebody get injected by this blade, my serum. I needed that. But I will say this: how many of you were watching this movie? Because I know I was watching the movie. I was watching the movie. Damn, this would be a good-ass video game.
Oh, yeah. It was totally set up like a game.
Damn, this would be such a good video game.
I think there is a new Alien game out or coming out soon. But
you know, part would be exciting?
Mm-hmm.
Zero-G acid tunnel. How'd you feel about that?
Go ahead. Yes, you go ahead.
I mean, I immediately was like, I don't think that's how it would work. I think acid would still puncture a hole. But that was certainly a moment I kind of had that pep talk to myself of like, enjoy the fucking movie. And I hate myself because normally I have no problem with just enjoy it. But there was a part of me that was immediately like, that's not, I mean, it's still a risk and it wouldn't have worked. But it's like, I guess at that point you just take the risk. And I thought it was, ultimately though, it was fucking cool and it was a really good idea. I thought that was really neat.
Creatively just something new.
I love that they let you know that she still has some bullets in that gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she needed it to maneuver around.
And again, I think they definitely set us up the anti-gravity purge thing was, and the gravity.
There you go. You know,
they set it up that it was going to be a thing later. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how they were going to use it. I wasn't expecting that.
I completely forgot about that shit until it started doing the ramp up. I'm like, oh shit!
Yeah, that's
go back. Run, bitch!
There were a handful of those plants, and that being one of them, where it's like some of them were obvious, and it was like immediately fulfilled and paid off, and then that one was just so well done. Of like, oh yeah, we have all these setups here. Yeah. Enjoy the movie. That reaction.
I do love the other setup too, where the one guy that got killed by the acid that had the classic 80s headband.
Bjorn.
Yeah, where he was giving the android shit because you found out his little backstory, you know, that the android closed the mining shaft, you know, or whatever on his parents.
And to save a
12. Left them in there, yeah. Killed a few, saved the many. And then here you go. You have another moment where old girl who was pregnant was behind the door, and he was like, "No, I can't open that. I'm sorry." And they were begging him to open it up. That was a little moment right there. I was like, "Damn."
There was a moment I was like, "Why not just force him?" I was like, "Oh, he's super strong.
Oh, yeah, he would
tear him to bits."
Yeah, that was a good little scene there.
I did have a couple of laugh out loud moments. I fucking can't remember the first one, but it was the second one where they drop the elevator as they're getting away, you know, from all the aliens and. The new one pops out of the wall. I was like, "What's up?" And then everyone sees the elevator. The aliens are coming up from the bottom. They drop the elevator and like gets rid of all of them. You're like, "Oh shit, that was close!" And that motherfucker pops out again. Like, it was a cool ass moment, but that shit still made me like just laugh out loud. I was like, "Fuck yeah, I get him."
And the aliens got some too. Was that the alien with the that was the one that got the scar? There's still like electric in its head.
Yeah. I love that they do that with the alien movies, because it was a thing in Alien vs. Predator too, where you had quote unquote had the grid alien because he got trapped in the net.
Yeah,
and it was kind of getting tight on him, you know. So you saw like the green blood, but he had that little grid.
Like, it gives them personality. Like, that's that one.
Mm-hmm. You said there was another laugh-out moment?
Fuck, I can't remember. Like, I think it was when they wouldn't open the door for what's her name, and she got took. Okay. But that fool was like, But that fool, like, dropped down and was like, "He's waiting for us." And I'm like, "Huh?" And they just kind of, like, pan over, and he's like, "I'm waiting for that shit." Like, "Open the door. Let's go."
Alien goes swiping. Because he had his silver teeth just...
Let's save your friend.
I found it really
Alien. The Alien movies have always done a really good job with like that camouflage, and there was that great scene in this movie where they were looking at like the TV monitor and they're like, "Wait, hold on," and then I'm sitting there looking like, "What the fuck is she looking at?" And then it finally like moves in the corner. Like, those are the kind of things like I can't wait for it to be on streaming just so I could pause it and just be like, "I can't fucking see that thing." Like, but they've always done such a good job with those like kind of reveals or the out of focus movement in the background. So like that scene when Kay was, you know, banging on the door, you could see it kind of coming in, and then, you know, they tell us like, "It's waiting."
My laugh out moment was Andy delivering the infamous line, "Get away from her, you bitch." Just to stun her on it.
"You bitch."
That's sweet, man.
My other laugh out loud moment, and thank you for reminding me. You're when welcome. Andy gets the upgrade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what just... like, experiencing the most pleasure I've ever seen a synthetic human being. Like, I'll find it. The most pleasure a synthetic human has ever felt.
Pleasure coup.
Like, his eyes rolled all the way back and he just had, like, the game over, like, Kron in there. And I was like, wow.
Game over, man.
Game over. I was like, "That's going to be a meme as soon as that scene is readily available."
It was so unnerving.
And
to,
I look forward to it.
To because you know the a lot of the synths, right? Yeah, they usually acted by already creepy British people, Fassbender, and then Ian Holm, and whomever else in the other movies. But they were like good androids in the other movies, right? But in this one, it was so funny to see him go from like basically broken and innocent and have that upgrade and just be British, but also you feel the danger. I didn't feel like he was going to attack anybody, but just that danger, especially when he was like running down the hall chasing after the other guys.
He was very stern, like when he got that upgrade, like you're like, oh, he's about that business now. Mm.
That oh shit moment, though, of his new directive.
Went from slow bender to fast bender. Fuck yeah.
Perfect. Well Holy done. Shit. Well fucking done. Throw a bell in there.
I will say, though, that it is a old, you know, like, stick where characters are on a clock. Yeah. And they had that little moment in there, which I like, you know, because they're like, oh, we got hours before this thing could collide with the rings.
Wrong.
Exactly. Then the ship, their first ship, you know, they got into that scuffle in the ship and then it rammed into the other ship. And then, you know, all these things happen. Now you don't have that much time as you thought. 43 minutes. Yeah, we're like, damn.
That, and all that, like, outer space shit as it's sinking towards the asteroid belt around the rings around the planet. That shit was really well done. Like, the look of that was just...
That was...
Superb.
The scope of it never lost that feeling of they're tiny and this is fucking huge. Mm-hmm. Like, that's difficult to do in a lot of things. We mentioned in Godzilla Minus One doing it fantastically, even with a smaller budget. And I was so happy with this movie, even though it had a little bit of a bigger budget, $80 million, that it still did what it could to maintain and never lose the scope of size.
Things like that before. I have to say, towards the end, because I wasn't pulling on my phone and checking how long it's been or whatever like that. So, you know, when they put Kay had already taken the serum and they put it and they kind of won at this point. And they were loading up the cryopods to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. There was a part of me that's like, oh man, they're gonna like go and bring this. Like, I was almost like setting up the sequel in my mind. Like, okay, they're done. They're gonna leave, but they're gonna bring whatever's in her to the planet. And then obviously that quickly was like, no. There's still more. There's more.
Did you feel like that relief of like, yes, I get to experience it now?
The what?
Like that relief of like, oh, I don't have to wait for a sequel. I get to see it happen now. Because I thought that it was going to end too, and that was going to be it, and you'd get her, you know, eyes open, eyes are black, or something like that.
Cut to credits. Looking back at it, I guess it was relief. I think I was a little more like surprised, which was obviously what they're going for. It's like, oh shit, like we are getting, like more is happening, which I mean, I guess we knew more was going to happen, but you're right. I was a little relieved that it happened then, and it was a lot more that happened still. And
does anybody remember the name of... Which one of the Alien movies where Sigourney Weaver's character gave birth to the alien and it looked human?
It was 3.
So when that thing was born again and they had that hole.
Resurrection, I believe.
That was in the ship and it, you know, it was kind of vacuuming stuff. I was like, oh, is this shit about to get sucked out exactly like that one in the... Because remember, it was that small hole that it got...
Skin
got pulled. Up again. Yeah.
And I was... You know the scene? Is that going to happen here again? I'm like, do we get this? But it was different. Like, I like that they kept it horror all the way through because, you know, they both got sucked out and then you thought it was gone and then she's, like, slowly climbing back up. Like, you know, it had that last little Jason Freddy little moment, you know, before...
I did gasp.
Yeah.
I like how, it drops down behind her and it's totally quiet. It's like...
The POV, though, was cool, like, in her helmet.
Yeah.
And with horror films too, like, you're like, okay, that's our main lead or whatever, and you feel like, oh, are they going to have a plot armor? I know I say it over and over, but like, are they going to have plot armor? And I really felt like, oh no, she might die. You know, there's a really good chance, like, they're really putting her through the fucking gauntlet. She might actually die. So felt properly uncomfortable throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, one of my friends asked after I said like this movie is one of the greatest movies I've seen in a long time. They asked why, and I mentioned that. There wasn't a lot of plot armor. None of the characters, I didn't feel like any of them got that like unrealistic save or, you know, like they worked for every second of life that they had.
One person did get an unrealistic save for me. It was when the alien caught her with the tail. when she was falling, I was like, I'll take it.
He's like, no, you don't get to die like by my hand.
I was like, I'll take it.
Well, the aliens, I mean, they showed, right? Like, they don't necessarily kill all of them. They try to bring some back for the facehuggers to breed more of the xenomorphs, right? So
it's possible. Like he was,
except for Tyler, right? Rain's kind of love interest, ex boyfriend or whatever. Like, was he still alive somewhere? Did he get a gruesome enough death? You just saw like blood pouring down. He was the only one that got killed.
Oh.
I feel like he had deserved a better death.
What was his death? Was he the one that got the fucking
the mouth chopping the face
little mouthy. It looked like it went into his head, so I was like, oh, yeah, you dead.
I wonder why they didn't go a little more gold.
Maybe he got lobotomized and they took him
because they do that. They fuck you up enough so that you don't move while you're getting.
I'm just curious why they didn't, like, especially knowing that Fede Alvarez, like, can make gory movies and gory death scenes, like, why not do it for this guy? It was an off-screen death.
You know, like, I've said before about extra gory movies, there's been times that I'll watch a movie and be like, man, this movie's really, really good, beyond the gore. Mm. But the gore prevents me from maybe suggesting it to more people. So if you went too gory with Alien Romulus, that might cut off, like, like my family or like some of my friends probably be like, I don't want to watch that if it's like a bunch of body gore.
That's a great point. Yeah, because
that's where the director's cut comes in or whatever.
Because it was like the Mortal Kombat games back in the day. You get the option to switch the blood on or switch it on to sweat.
I mean, that whole birth scene in the fucking cryo tube was enough. if I had pearls, I'd be clutching them.
Like, ooh. They probably swap. They go, okay, we're going to have a really disgusting birth scene, but we can show what's his face is dead. Okay, that's a great point. I like that.
Yeah.
Trade off.
I like Isabella Merced, so then seeing her just like doing that, I was like, oh, Jesus.
Dora. I know, right?
She's going to be our new hot girl. That should be fun.
Oh, that's right. It was just sort of talked about that Fede Alvarez was sort of in talks with the director of Prey that he wanted to do their version of it.
I don't know. They're friends. And he just mentioned it as a thing. Like, if I was going to do it,
buddy. Yeah. Not say something like that out loud.
Uh-huh. No, they did that intentionally. Let's see how the fucking internet responds.
Mm-hmm. There was a part of me in this movie when they referenced, like, a savior or something like that, or I forgot what it was, but they were talking about the Prometheus serum. Mm-hmm. But before they showed what it was, part of me was like, oh man, what if there's like a predator? Like, you know, what if somehow they had captured a predator to die as the ultimate, like, no, aliens, you got to take care of this. I mean, in my head, I let my like creativity go crazy with that. Speaking of aliens, how cool was it when they finally showed that there was more than the one?
Oh, it's a shit your pants moment.
Yeah. I feel like I was a little disappointed, and maybe it happened too quickly. I thought the audience, because the theater we went to was pretty full. There were some talkative people, and you know, some people were making some audible gasps and stuff. So when they finally showed all of them, like, I was ready to be like, oh shit. But, you know, I'm in a theater, I maintain it. But I was surprised I didn't hear more from everybody.
I thought it was cool. Yeah. Like, as soon as like they all came in, I'm like, there's all the people that were on the station. I'm like, so where are all the rest of the aliens?
Yeah.
And they're like,
because you're like, it made sense to me. Like,
Peek-a-boo, we're here.
A full call for backup.
They set it up good because you had that one alien that was in the first lab section. That was, you know, that reveal.
Oh, yeah.
Was a good fossilized reveal. Because you see the android down there on the ground, but you see like the hole.
Oh, that one. Sorry.
Which was the acid hole. And then, you know, they're talking and they're figuring things out. And then
they look up
and you're like, oh. The
crucified one. Yeah.
It was one, you know, but in my mind, I was like, that couldn't have been the only one that was on this big, you know, this big ship with all those people. But
might they do?
It was a good setup.
Might they do what Thing did? The Thing, whereas they had like a prequel. Like, well, the thing happened to. Let's look at what happened to this station, this outpost. Nobody ever saw John Carpenter's Thing?
I was thinking Fantastic Four for the longest time.
I know, sorry. But there was like the two outposts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They saw what happened in the second one. And the movie that came out, however many years ago, just a few years ago, was essentially a prequel. And you got to see everything that happened then there.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So maybe we'll have prequel to the sequel. What the fuck are these called again?
Sidequel. I like that sidequel.
I think the only sidequel that's really been out would be the
300, Rise of...
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. What was the second one?
Rise of an Aspartame? Some shit like that?
Yeah, whatever. That was a full-on cycle, because that story was taking place at the exact same time.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. That's why, like, yeah, he even, like, went to see the queen, like, right after, like, the Senate meeting or something like that.
Because what's her name showed up at the end of that?
Because it was...
Queen Gorgo? Grogu? Whatever the hell. Anyway, off track.
Oh, it's a real guy? The creature's called the Offspring, the humanoid thing. That's a real dude.
Robert. There's a guy in a suit.
Bob
Rocks, he's a real actual Rocksky. Tall. Yeah, okay, you got it there.
Part of me was immediately like, is that Doug Jones? Because he has all the creature suits.
He's in everything. Yeah. I gotta look him up.
He's in Star Trek.
What an unfortunate, like, tall looking dude. Robert Bobrovsky.
Yeah, that thing was creepy looking at the end. Which is, again, like, what makes this such a good horror movie specifically is, like, we had the jump scares, mm-hmm. we had a little bit of the gore, we had the freakiness, and then you just got creepy shit.
I will say the one thing that I...
Oh, yeah, he's an alien.
That
sorry, Robert Barbaskal.
Good I Lord. Do love about Bar-Bosky. The Alien series is that when the aliens come out, and, like, burst out of your chest and all that stuff, or when something's born, it's damn near immediate that they grew up so fast.
Oh yeah. I love that. That's what makes them the perfect organism.
Because yeah, that you don't have to wait.
We don't need like a 20-minute like awkward toddler
scene. I thought we were gonna get that. I bet they fucking had that somewhere and just opted out of it. Lord. It was like full so grown.
I finally got into his pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make it even creepier. Like full grown and breastfeeding still.
The chest breaking out scene was done really well. God, that looked like it hurt. And she had the torch, you know, the X-ray torch, and you could see it start breaking the ribs. And I was like, oh, good God.
Was that technology in any of the other ones? Because if not, like, it's cool to have the technology of the era from, like, the original films and then just something a little new thrown in there.
I mean, realistically, in a galactic world like that where space travel is taking years and everything like that, you could... I mean, I can imagine certain planets just being more technologically advanced than the others because of just the lack of trade and stuff like that, even within Wayland. So time difference and galactic distance, I think, would make a... For that, I don't know, I'm fucking nerding out.
Like, I got crazy a question here, for Jesus. You now. Speaking of all the tech, do you still want the first alien gun, or do you want this new gun?
Oh, I still want the first one, but this one was fucking a cool... Aside, like, it's like the Colonial Pulse Rifle, but, you know, I'm a Colonial Marine Pulse Rifle, but for noobs with the auto aim. I'm like just having all that shit, like, spin out, like, that'd be a cool fucking, like, just piece to have on the wall.
Another scene where they were just very great at, like, presenting the camera the gun. This is a gun. It shoots like this, and it's got auto-aim. Cool. All right. I know it wasn't that robotic. It was very smooth and made sense. They had to explain it to the characters. But as an audience, I was like, thank you.
I saw that, and then immediately it was like, well, you can't shoot it. I'm like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought that was kind of, like, smart, too, because, like, here you are thinking, like, all right, I'm going to do some work. Oh, you can't shoot. Oh, that makes sense. Then why did they give it? It's like, oh, intimidation. Like, cool.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked.
I mean, that's all my thoughts about the movie. You guys want to wrap it up?
Yeah. Have they ever touched on, like, how, like, what will stop that acid? Like, does it drip in? Like, it obviously just doesn't drop forever because it won.
The egg kept it in there.
And it must, like, deteriorate.
Their skull or whatever. Because
in one of the Alien vs. Predator movies, like, the Predator makes a shield for the girl character out of that.
That's right.
That dome. So,
but also just distance. It's like there was the hole, right, that it dropped and it dropped and it dropped and it dropped. Like, obviously, it didn't go all the way through because the station's there.
Well, we need Heisenberg. We need them to put that
point.
Blood in plastic or something.
Not a plot hole. It deteriorates. I mean, like, acid, you know, eventually.
There's just one guy at the bottom with that specially treated plastic container that that won't burn through.
He's seeing that everything.
Yeah. A la Heisenberg. Like, I got it. Pull it out the airlock. So I only have one problem with this movie, and I guess it's like just a little nitpick
that it had credits and it finished.
So this station, you know, top secret, high value station,
that's studying, you know, these xenomorphs, and it goes offline, like, why wasn't there, like, an alarm? Like, why wasn't someone keeping track of this so that as soon as it went dormant and, like, closed up, the company is, like, immediately sending out messages, you know, oh, we know it's here. It's going to pass through this planetary system. There's a company planet in the system. Like, why wasn't there more of a mobilization toward of, you know, someone in charge to be like, hey, get up there and, like, secure the station, see what's happening. It's going to crash into the asteroid ring. Like, get in there and kind of, like, angle it and, you know, keep it out of there. Do something, basically.
I do get that. Good point. But it's like, in my head, because of all the movies and even, like, the Alien vs. Predator movie, I feel like this company is, like, so vast that there may have been people, you know, trying to get to that because, you know, they did the experiment and they know what they have, you know, so there could be somebody. But then again, like, it could be, like, the Expendables, you know, like, this is, like, everybody who's going out could be disposable. Like, if that mission fails, we'll get a new mission or a new crew. Like,
just write it off.
Well, I'm assuming. Yeah,
why waste the resources? Yeah, in my head, anyways.
I think that's actually probably a really good point. I was going to say, like, one, like, communication might not be as vast as, like, say, a Star Trek or something like that, where even if an alarm does go off, if there's not people within the right classification or classified clearance in the company, they might not even hear it. And then even if they did, like, again, space travel is so long, it's like, all right, well 2 years, you know, we'll be able to get to it. Because it sounded like just picked it up, or they kind of implied that this just showed up and
wandered into the system and they caught the beacon. So
so if even, I mean, like, even if Wayland Industries or whatever you know, knew about it, they might be on their way, and these people just happen to be on that planet, were able to get to it quicker, and then that planet itself might not have either the clearance or, you know, the means to get up there, according to Wayland.
Actually do anything.
Because they said, like, what, 46 hours or something like that, so they very well could have just been waiting for the professionals, and these people got in there.
I think thrown in there also is, like, the Wayland...
Yutani,
the corporation, they know the extent of the danger of this. Maybe that's why it was all experiments were done on the space station, as opposed to, you know, yeah, it's like the miners and stuff were expendable, but it's like, those are my miners. I don't want to kill them off by our experiments going awry, so everything has to be up in space.
Yeah.
So maybe just risk of, yeah, who said it was like, well. Write it off.
All right. I guess I can accept that. Like I said, it wasn't like a big thing, but like, I was just in the back of my mind, I'm like, if that's such a high value thing that everyone's going after, like, why wouldn't, like, when communication ceases, or, like, someone wouldn't, like, press the big red button that's like, alarm, we need help.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of those space stations that he has, or the corporation has.
And the way that, you know, they were panning around and showing, like, the plaques and everything, Romulus and what's his brother, Remus.
Yeah.
Like, it was a big fancy station. Like, it wasn't like a little clandestine, you know, shitbox in space that they were trying to keep secret. Like, it looked like a big prestigious thing.
Like, they managed to basically farm out and capture the facehuggers, having those rows of them. So they knew their way around it. What the fuck went wrong?
Yeah. Like, it was an important installation.
But we also see how quickly it can go wrong. Well, to answer your question, like, that could have happened 2 days prior. I mean, like, the station was in pretty big disarray, but the bodies weren't too decomposed, the ones that were stuck in the alien walls.
Good point.
So, do you guys think when they got that, like, cocoon-looking asteroid in the beginning and they cut it open with the laser, did they take the alien body out of there, or when it panned up and we saw like the fossilization of it, that was just the imprint, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that wasn't the actual. Because in my head,
no, I think that's the actual alien that she blew out of the airlock from the first one.
Yeah, what they showed us was the imprint, but they took the alien, and they said that
It was the one that actually got blown out of the...
Which apparently doesn't kill aliens if they can fucking cocoon
unless themselves. Unless through a tiny hole.
Pretty good first impression.
Ah, that's a good enough.
That's what we thought about the movie, and it's as good as place as any to wrap this episode up. And if you also, the end of the show reminder that if you're just listening to us, you can view us on youtube.com/thehypotechpodcast. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at thehypotech. Doug?
Yes, keep the conversation going. This movie, I'm sure if you've seen it, you're going to love it, and you can tell us how much you love it. If you don't like it, go ahead and tell us that you don't like it, and we'll... Theories, anything, anything you want to see from the next one. Yeah.
Do you want to see Alien vs. Predator?
Yeah.
We had a good Predator movie. Now we had a good Alien movie. Yeah. So now let's try it again.
Yeah. They need the whole life fusion.
All right. Well, thank you for checking us out. In the meantime, same hype time.
Same hype channel. Hype attack.